Okay. Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Sometimes you just got to talk to it a little bit to get the music to start. Anyways, this is the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so there was a new one that popped up over there this morning. So swing on, you know, get the opportunity to check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three of them E's.
All right. And, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that's going on, but we're going to kick off tonight with a new segment that we have decided to, well, I guess technically I decided to call it. We're going to call this Dan's Drive-In. And instead of Dan going out and picking the movie he is going to watch, we are going to put up a poll. Now, you will be able to reach this poll, of course, at sportstimeradio.com on Twitter, on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, or, again, you could just email us a vote if you want, to sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. So you got three ways to vote, and you're also going to have three movie choices. All right, so the three movies, or I guess I should say one of these three movies Dan is going to watch and give us his review. I guess that would be Monday you would do that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, but there's no point in me watching it this weekend and then wait until next Wednesday, right?
Yeah, so, you know, this, you know, and obviously we'll give you the winner tomorrow. He'll watch the movie sometime between Thursday and Monday. We'll do the full review of the movie on Monday. He'll tell you what he thinks, all that stuff. But today, here are your three choices. All right? He is going, well, I should say we're going with Rookie of the Year. All right? There's number one. The Rookie. So we've got two rookie movies here. And then Cool Runnings is your third choice. So it's Rookie of the Year, The Rookie, or Cool Runnings are your three choices on which movie you want Dan to watch. Again, three ways to vote. Sports Time, you know, at Twitter, at Sports Time Radio on Twitter. Get on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. You know, get over there, give it a like, get your vote in, or just email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. We'll announce tomorrow, you know, who wins and what Dan is going to watch over the weekend, and then as long as, you know, you follow along till Monday, we will tell you what he, you know, what he thought, or he'll tell you what he thought, because I'm not watching the movie, so we will see how that goes. So hopefully that works out, and again, you know, if you email us, just title it Dan's Drive-In, and we'll know what you're talking about. I'm sure once we open the email, we'll know what you're talking about, too, but just to make our lives a little easier. So,
I did have a question. I did have a question for you, and I, you know, with your qualification or your qualifications, I guess your qualifications or your expectations of this segment of the show. I was wondering if there's an opportunity to, is it strictly sports movies, or if an athlete stars in a movie, does that count?
You know, I would like to stay toward the sports movie genre if we could. Okay. You know, obviously we can push the limits, you know, if there's a documentary or, you know, I mean, depending on, like, you know, I'm not going to let you watch, like, Central Intelligence just because The Rock starred in it. That only popped in my head because it was on yesterday. So.
Oh. Oh, no, Kazam. I'll have to watch that for my own enjoyment.
Well, you know, that one I would probably let slide because I'm, you know, I'm a Shaq fan. But yeah, if you watch Kazam, though, I would have to make you watch Blue Steel, and it would have to be a double feature.
Oh, I forgot about that movie.
So, you know, that would have to be something we could team up. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we can have some fun with it and have a little flexibility. I mean, it obviously we're going with, you know, two out of your three picks are comedies here. You know, the other one is sort of kind of a true life story. You know, as we all know from watching true life stories, they're never exactly completely true, but it's kind of based on a true story. So, you know, but yeah, I don't have a problem if we have a little flexibility, just kind of depending on what the movie is.
We'll have to tell that to the silent intern when he's picking the movies.
Yes. So what did we name him? I forgot.
I think he came up with JD, which I didn't get.
But I'm sure there's, you know, something to it. I can never remember, you know, who does what on this podcast anymore. So, but all right, so there you go. Our new segment, again, that's Dan's Drive-In. Get your vote in. Three ways to vote, three movies to pick from. We'll tell you who wins tomorrow, and we'll see how that goes. So hopefully we get a solid amount of votes, and we can just continue this growing till hundreds of thousands of people are trying to decide what Dan gets to watch, because that would be just so much fun. So, but all right. Well, you know, Dan, as soon as we got off the air yesterday, there were a couple more big breaking baseball stories, you know, that came out. And following up on the Astros' decision to fire their general manager A.J. Hinch, the Red Sox, and I love how they decided to work this. Instead of using the term fire, they used the term that they have parted ways with manager Alex Cora. I also saw somebody try to explain that it was a mutual agreement, which, as anybody listening to this knows, that's total BS. But, yeah, so, you know, the Red Sox kind of strike while, you know, or I guess before the hammer drops, to speak. Cora's gone. You know, he was involved in both of these sign-stealing scandals, you know, as he was the Astros base coach bench coach in 2017 and then the Red Sox manager in 2018. The Red Sox kind of hinted at the fact that they only made this move because the Astros made their move. So it would have been interesting to know. I guess they were just planning on keeping him and letting him work out whatever issues he had here. But, kind of like the Astros thing, you in agreement with this, or should they have maybe tried to mend a fence? Because it appears the guy is a pretty decent manager. So what did they really have another option?
I do not believe they had any other option. And yeah, he has a great track record when he cheats. And, you know, the thing that popped into my head after we got off the air yesterday, or maybe when I was kind of rambling towards the end, I just felt like looking back, you know, I can't sit here and lie to you and tell you I remember every single moment of the 2017 championship series. It was more so reading CC Sabathia's comments about the situation. And you know, we brought that up about the Dodgers. Where could have the Dodgers been? Should they have two titles? Could they could possibly have two championships? But if we want to backtrack even one more step, would we have seen, you know, two World Series that I actually predicted, the Dodgers and the Yankees? I don't know if it was this 2019 or 2018, but I had those two teams as going to the World Series for one of the 2 years. And, you know, I start to think back to that 2017 series with the Yankees and the Astros. And, I mean, Jose Altuve was hot. He was super hot. He was hitting more home runs than I had any expectation for. And that just kind of helps, I don't want to say confirm, But the way they were hitting in that championship series with the Yankees, it just kind of helped me lead more to, yeah, I could see, because I felt like Altuve was hitting, you know, first pitches out of the park way too easily. But I'm going to be back in five, and then you can kind of go on there. And I wanted to let you – I wanted to bring up about the what I really thought about the cheating scandal.
So, yeah, it is, you know, what it's becoming an odd situation here for Major League Baseball. And then the other thing, and now baseball doesn't have to figure this one out, but it looks like they're just going to kind of leave it up to the New York Mets on what they're going to do with Carlos Beltran. You got to remember, Beltran is the only player named in Major League Baseball's investigation of the Astros. All right, but he was a player. Now, the players involved aren't going to be disciplined by Major League Baseball, more basically just because they have a union supporting them, and any discipline would have to go through the union, and it would probably end up in a lengthy court battle, and by the time the suspension or fine or whatever came along, the player would probably be retired or could possibly be out of the game for another reason. So they're not going after the players. You know, obviously Beltran was a player at that time, but as of November 1st, he's the Mets manager. You know, now I saw, you know, some comments that say they use the term legitimate concern for Beltran's job, you know, because, I mean, if you look at it, the Astros moved on from their two guys, you know, A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. The Red Sox have now moved on from Alex Cora. You know, the Red Sox fired Dave Dombrowski last year. He was didn't have the general manager title, he was president of baseball operations. So basically the same thing there. So, you know, I don't know if he may be doled out some discipline to where, you know, he may have to wait to get a new job or how it works out there, because he's not currently working for a team right now. So, yeah, you know, Beltran is kind of the wild card here. It's, you know, how do the Mets decide to handle this? I mean, obviously when he was hired, they had no idea about how this worked out, but he was definitely, you know, he definitely looks like he was a participant in it. And there are a lot of reports that say he was the leader of the players in this situation. So I don't know, you know, does it taint his job as a manager? You know what I mean? Especially this is, you know, the first time he's getting a shot to do this. You know, you got to wonder if he's canned before the season starts. Does this basically end his managerial career before it gets started? You know, and I know there's been a lot of questions about, you know, will A.J. Hinch get another job? You know, now will Alex Cora get another job? You know, it's kind of interesting. I've heard guys, you know, kind of talk and say that, oh, yeah, no problem, you know, we would hire Hinch. But, you know, then do you take the chance of kind of tainting, I guess would be the best term for it, your team or your legacy? Or I guess every time you won, wouldn't there be questions? You know, that would kind of be my thing. I mean, if he went somewhere and won another World Series like he did with the Astros, you know, or, and, you know, you could say the same thing for Alex Cora as well. You know, would there be, legitimate questions about how they won it. You know, was there shenanigans this time like last time? So yeah, it's not going to be an easy situation for any team to kind of decide what is to go on with these guys or how it's going to happen. But yes, somewhere down the line, somebody is going to have to make a decision. You know, there's going to be plenty of managerial openings, coming down the pipeline. And obviously, Hinch will be eligible to manage after the 2020 World Series. So, you wonder, would a team take that shot with him? And, he's got an interesting career resume. You know, he managed in Arizona for a couple years, and they didn't win. You know, he got canned there. Now, he was out of the managerial game for quite a while. He managed in Arizona in 2009 and 2010. He didn't get the Astros job till 2015. Now, he's been very successful with Houston. He has almost a .600 winning percentage with the Astros. They played 50 playoff games under Hinch. So, he has a fantastic resume as a manager. The question just becomes, can you bring him in, or can you bring Cora in without it making your franchise look bad? So I don't know. And I guess maybe you could bring him in. But like I said, once your franchise – say your franchise does win, or they start to win, say they go to – I don't know, just pick a losing franchise. Say Kansas Detroit City. Hires them in the middle of their rebuild, and they're managing the Tigers. And the Tigers start to turn it around, and they start winning games. Aren't there automatically going to be questions about how the Tigers are winning?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you would think immediately those would pop up, and it would be like, wait a minute, how come this team has all of a sudden turned it around? Do you have to go to Tigers games and listen for banging drums or checking monitors and, all the other stuff that they managed to do to, get this going as it was? So it's... it's not only a difficult situation for any team that wants to hire him, but the Mets are in a tough spot with Beltran. They're going to have to make a decision one way or the other. They're either going to have to stick with their guy and support their guy, and just kind of go with the fact that he was a player and there won't be a suspension handed down to him, or they're probably going to have to kill a guy's career. Because you got to figure, if he gets canned before managing a game, he's probably not going to get him another managerial job.
No.
So it's definitely a tough spot for the Mets and good old Brody Van Wagenen. So we'll just kind of have to wait and see. And I haven't heard anything out of them. I haven't seen a statement, so I don't know what they're thinking. But we'll see.
Well, and you brought up Cora's resume, Hinch's resume. Who else had a really great resume? I don't know if you want to go with the coaching or the playing portion of his career, but before his last, who?
Barry Bonds.
You got to go back even further. Kind of keep rolling back the clock. And because Pete Rose, I think, had a really great resume. No, am I wrong?
I don't know if he did as well as a manager. He had a fantastic player resume,
yeah.
But yeah, as a manager, I don't know if he was he was as successful.
And that's kind of where I'm going, but not where I'm going. So he had a fantastic resume as a player, who should have been inducted into the Hall of Fame, but has been banned for life for what? For what, Big Jack?
Betting on games.
Come on.
Betting on games.
Betting on games. Yeah, and I mean, essentially, when you're doing that, if you bet on your team to lose and you kind of help them lose, what is that called? Cheating.
Yeah, well, I call it fixing games, but, you know.
Yeah, fixing games is the equivalent of cheating. If you look it up in the thesaurus, if anyone uses those anymore, but, you know, there's thesauruses online. Cheating is the bottom line. So a one-year suspension for a manager and maybe 2.5 for Cora, whatever they decide punishment is, quite frankly, to me, it's the same exact thing that Pete Rose did. You cheated. But then again, I don't want to stick my foot fully down my throat because so did you know, the steroid era. But you can almost give them some kind of leniency because there wasn't a rule against it. Am I right? So is that where the tight rope, you know, the tight line is walked? Am I justified?
Yeah. You know, that you know, it's interesting. But here, I can tell you that over 6 years as the Reds manager, Pete Rose actually went 412 and 373. So he was a 500 manager. He actually did have a tie at one point in time. So that's kind of humorous. But yeah, so he did have a winning record as Reds manager.
Yeah, but you kind of see where I'm going with that, though. I mean, there, and I know it's not totally apples to apples, but it's definitely not apples to oranges. But you know, he was banned for life for fixing, you know, essentially gambling, fixing, cheating, however you want to call it. Breaking the rules that they have set in place, which from what I understand, and I guess I'll really have to do some digging to see the rule book and maybe try to find a free millennial rule book that says you're not supposed to steal signs. But I mean, what they did completely 100% affected the outcome of not only the game, but the outcome. And I just don't understand why, regardless, when you really kind of sit back and process it and you maybe read some of the reactions of only CC Sabathia, because being a special role to the Yankees, I guess he can kind of say what he wants. But when you think about it that way, you know, these punishments are nothing. So a millionaire doesn't get paid for a year.
To be fair, I have people actually calling for Cora to be suspended for life. So, you know, we got to kind of wait and see what his penalty is, you know, before you can kind of squash that. But, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, I guess a lot will depend on how long it takes them to get other jobs, right, before we see what the penalty really means.
Yeah, and I mean, let's just fantasy land. You own the Cubs and I own the White Sox. And, you know, it's 2023 and we both need managers. And that resume comes floating across your desk. What are you doing with it? You just filing it away for HR purposes? Yeah. Well, he'll be dead by then.
Yeah, you know, and it's, you know, that's, again, that's going to be interesting. And, I mean, obviously with Hinch, we're only going to have to wait till next offseason, you know, because that suspension ends the minute the World Series is over. And you know there's going to be openings next year one way or the other. So, you know, it could be, you know, that soon we'll have to see how these other teams – you know, react or feel or what they think about the situation.
And
so it's gonna be fun to see.
You know, you asked what I did. I agree with the Red Sox, and I think it was a mutual decision. They sat down together, and Alex, we're gonna have to let you go in spite of this this controversy. Yeah, I kind of agree with you. So there's your mutual agreement, Big Jack.
Yeah.
But no, I, total sarcasm there. But, I think it's very wise for them to distance themselves. And it's kind of interesting that, we don't know how long the investigation has been going on, but how interesting is it that they win the World Series? And I think talks of the cheating in 2017 came up, and how different the Red Sox hitting was last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you keep adding this. You know what's weird is in 2017, Jose Altuve won the MVP. In 2018, Mookie Betts won it.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying either of these guys had help, because, we'll never really know, how it played out. But it's kind of coincidental that, here you go. this is how it played out.
And doesn't it kind of taint everything, though, for you?
It has to. Whether, I'm a huge Jose Altuve fan. I believed he should have won, multiple MVPs back before he was, hitting double-digit home runs, and all they kept complaining about was he didn't hit enough home runs. So I'm a big Altuve fan, but, this definitely taints it for me. I mean, every time I think about it, it's no different than Barry Bonds being the home run king. Is he really? Or did he have help? Sammy Sosa is still the only guy to hit 60 home runs, and I believe it's three consecutive seasons. It might even be four, but I think it's three. But did he have help? These are the questions that are always, any time, this pops up, and you got to understand that all these guys aren't going to be able to save their reputations like A-Rod did. A-Rod is a media darling. And people seem to forget that, God, how long was he suspended for? Was he suspended for almost an entire season? Because of, a PED discrepancy there. But now, you wouldn't even know. He's a Sunday night baseball darling and everybody loves him, but
I love
him. In reality, he was the guy who had great talent and cheated the game. So how is he different than Pete Rose?
Played in gamble.
People say Pete Rose wasn't even that talented. He just busted his ass.
Yeah.
So, you got to kind of start to wonder, how are these guys, how is a Ryan Braun who's been caught and won an MVP, or a Jason Giambi who's won an MVP have been caught using PEDs. How are they different than Pete Rose, who did bet on games? He cheated the game. They cheated the game. It looks like Hinch and Cora and Lunau, and you can throw Carlos Beltran in there because he's been named, cheated the game. So what are their suspensions going to be? Was a year enough?
I don't think so.
Yeah. We'll see how it plays out. If it takes Hinch 3 or 4 years to get another job, then maybe, it was sufficient, because in reality, he ended up with it takes 2 years. Then he really ended up with a 3-year suspension. And I'm okay with that. I don't know if this is something that he should be banned for life for, because I honestly believe that every single team is doing this. It's the Astros and the Red Sox got caught. So,
To me, it's just kind of the hypocrisy, though, of the commissioner's office. That's just kind of... You put the one guy on the shame pedestal for life, and yet all you've worried about, the current commissioner, all he's worried about is speeding up the game and making it more attractive for kids. But like you pointed out 100 million thousand times, when it comes to the playoffs, what kid is able to watch any of it since they're all either in school during, you know, the first round or having to go to bed because, you know, the World Series isn't starting till 8 o'clock. And, you know,
well,
we're
you
in
know,
the
like
third inning
point,
and it's
like
10.
You know, I can't even watch the end of a World Series game because I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go to work. You know, I can't stay up till 11 o'clock and then be up for, you know, that's just nothing. But since you did bring this kind of thing up, does this hurt the game, Dan? Does it affect ratings? Is there any fallback from anything? You know, how does this kind of, you know, what's the takeaway? Or do you think people are going to look at it and just be like, ah, it doesn't matter?
Well, you know, everyone still stands for the national anthem, so that's all that really matters, right? Or it's not an election I mean, we are coming up on an election year, so maybe that'll persuade
that's
people. I think it will. You're going to have your, you know, and I hate to put it in a category, but your boomers, I think, who will be affected a little bit more. Where I think a lot of people in my generation and the millennials, you know, from what I understand, the hipster millennial generation, they probably prefer to go back to the dead ball era because, you know, they're bringing back vinyl and all that good stuff. But, you know, I think, unfortunately, with your generation and my generation, we've kind of grown up with this. And not, you know, cheating in baseball, but just having so much of this surrounded in our lives that we kind of accept that there's always going to be some form of cheating, whether it's, you know, Major League Baseball or professionally in your career, or even when it comes to your kids' Little League sports. I mean, I've seen it with my nephew in flag football. How do you beat the kid that runs too fast? You can't grab his flag. Oh, you dive for him and clip the heels, but you know, it was unintended. So I witnessed that. You know.
Buddy, I coached Little League for years. There is more shenanigans that go on there. It's unbelievable the amount of parents who have to win through their children. And I just don't know, you know, if that's such a good thing. I mean, you know, especially at some of the age groups, let them go out and have some fun. See if they like the game before you try to commit them to a lifetime of being, you know, a Major League Baseball player or football player or whatever it's going to be, because they may end up hating it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if we've talked much about my youngest nephew. He was in baseball not this past year, you know, 2019, but in 2018. And my sister's ex-husband, you know, he went all out. He bought, you know, I didn't get any of this crap when I was a kid. He had the baseball bag. He had two bats, you know, the glove, the cleats. Of course, you know, as a kid, I had the glove and the cleats because, you know, that was, you needed that.
Yeah.
I didn't have the bag.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't have my own personal helmet. You know, my nephew got the whole nine. And 2019, I was like, hey, Mom, you know, is he playing? Did you get the schedule? Because, you know, last year I didn't get a schedule and, sorry, but weekday games are hard to make it. And I know they play on the weekend. She goes, oh, no. His dad expected him to be a Major League Baseball player, and it's fed up the kids so much and his mother that they're not doing it again.
Well, don't worry. Your daughter will be playing softball soon. You'll be able to go to all those games. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what I mean. I mean, the kid, he's a gamer, but he likes playing baseball. He doesn't watch it. He's always played catch with my father in the backyard, but I guess that pressure from 1 year of, you know, how do you expect a kid to go from no experience other than throwing a ball and catching it to, you know, being starting shortstop for the Yankees?
No, you know, and I've seen plenty of kids, you know, who were, you know, really good quality baseball players just get, you know, frustrated. I mean, we're talking to our teenagers. You know, by the time they're 11, 12, 13, you know, dad has put so much pressure on them that they just walk away from the game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it, you know, I'm sure it would be great to have a, you know, a star son or even a daughter who's, you know, a just a star player. I mean, that would be fantastic. But, you know, if they don't like the game, is it really worth it?
Yeah, I mean, my cousin is a prime example. He was in soccer year-round. He got a scholarship
yeah.
to go to college. You know, not a, you know, any kind of division whatevers. I don't know those classifications, but a local college, he got the full ride. His mom, when he was a sophomore, she went back to school, got her master's degree, and, you know, pretty much let loose of the reins, and he quit. He quit soccer
yeah.
and had to quit school and decided to go sweep up, you know, sawdust in a factory.
You know, my buddy, I had a buddy whose son did that. You know, he played, you know, he played through Little League. He was all conference in high school. He got a small school scholarship. I think it was something locally here by us. Got into his second year, and, you know, he had played so much baseball from the time he was 8 to now he's 19. He was burnt out and just had to walk away. You know, I mean, he had played thousands of games. I mean, there were days in the summer where, you know, they would play doubleheaders on Saturday and Sunday, and then they would have three or four games during the week.
Jeez.
And it was just like, man, this guy's playing a tougher schedule than the Major League Baseball plays. And, you know, it eventually just caught up to him, and, yeah, he – you know, just to the point where he actually just didn't enjoy the game anymore and doesn't even really watch it now, where before you couldn't stop him from watching a game. So,
but, you know, to answer your question, I don't think the ratings will be hit too hard because it's isolated, where I still think there's a stigma somewhat with the NBA, where that affects it.
Yes. All right, well, let's segue into what was the other big story yesterday after you went off the air. The last, I guess what they would call big name free agent, signed a contract, and it was a kind of a surprise, you have to say. Josh Donaldson gets 4 years, $92 million. With a fifth-year option from the Minnesota Twins, so he's going to, you know, good old Minnesota there. You know, everybody kind of had him going to Texas, or I had somebody saying that the Braves were the front runners to sign him. You know, obviously, this is a huge deal, not only money-wise, but, you know, kind of, you know, all the way around, because we're talking about signing a 34-year-old player for 4 years. Now, the $92 million is guaranteed. You know, so by the time the contract's actually up, he'll be 38. There's an option for year 39. I get that he's in the American League, so he could always go to the DH spot if necessary. But I don't know, Dan. This sounds kind of like a big reach for the Twins here.
That was my kind of exact thought when I saw it, was 5 years.
Yeah. You know, and he had a bounce back year last year. He did hit just 259, which is, you know, about 15 points below his career average. But in the year of the home run, you know, he hit 37 home runs. He drove in 94 runs for a very good Atlanta Braves team. He is a top defender. So, you know, he will bring that along. And I was surprised to see that he hasn't won a gold glove, because he's always been looked upon as a very good defender. But, you know, who knows, maybe he'll pick one up there in Minnesota while he's there. I guess in the end, it kind of works out for the Twins, because it really strengthens their lineup, you know, in what is perceived to be a very weak division. And now they'll be able to take Miguel Sano, who is a horrible defensive third baseman, move him across the diamond to first base, where he'll probably be better off, you know, and suit the team better. So, you know, all in all, it makes sense for the Twins to make the signing. I think I'm just more surprised by the years and the money. How are you taking this?
Yeah, the year, maybe not so much the money, but obviously the years, the money comes with the years. But, you know, my only question is, you know, what year of this contract does he somehow end up on the Yankees?
Yeah, so, well, probably next year, right? Isn't it just automatically they start, you know,
well,
deciding that it's time to go wherever?
Yeah, well, you know, if they're in second place next year, well, it's time to rebuild, you know. MLB Network,
you know,
and everyone else has them rebuilding because, you know, the White Sox are in third place now. Yeah, no, I mean, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but when you think about the length or just the money in that contract, who else would want to take that on in those last year, maybe a year and a half? And that would be the Yankees. You know, obviously, I don't wish anything on Andujar or Glaber. So, but, you know, it is interesting. And then, you know, of course, the DH role. So that's the only thing that pops into my mind is who's going to take him in that last year and a half.
Yeah, and clearly it would have to be an American League team because you got to figure it's, you know, there's a good possibility he wouldn't be able to be a full-time third baseman, you know, at 38 or 30. If the contract goes till he's 39, you know, they can buy him out for $8 million in that final year. So, you know, that's something you got to think would probably happen. But, you know,
you would probably buy a team. The one thing that doesn't surprise me that it was them that took him on was the fact that, you know, how long do they have Mauer? Or do they still have him? And he was just kind of hanging out.
Yeah, but, you know, he was their guy. You know, they drafted him. They groomed him. You know, a Minnesota.
Yeah, and I understand that. And I have a cool bobblehead that my dad got when he was in Minnesota. But, you know, it just kind of, you know, made me think like, oh, they let him hang out for a while. And, you know, the other guy who went to the White Sox with the concussion, he was hanging out there for a while too. You don't remember
Justin
his name,
Martin.
Do you?
Yeah, Justin Martin.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, he won an MVP.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, after the concussions, he was pretty much donezo.
Well, I think he still, you know, once it took him quite a long time to get over it, but you know, he was solid as a DH for the White Sox, and I think he was okay in Colorado as like a part timer. But yeah, you know, now the big question, or the next big question that pops up here with this is with you know, Donaldson off the board, the question becomes, what do the Braves do at third base, and then what do the Washington Nationals do? You know, they were both teams in the running. You know, obviously, Donaldson was the Braves' third baseman last year. The Nationals lost Rendon into free agency. You know, the Nationals have at least made a couple signings to stem the tide, so to speak. You know, they re-signed Estrubal Cabrera after they traded for him last year, and then they brought in Starlin Castro. You know, both guys can play third base if needed. Cabrera is actually a regular third baseman. Castro just started playing the position last year. So, you know, they're kind of set, but I guess the Braves right now, you know, I saw a depth chart that had Johan Camargo starting, but I would guess that they would go back to Austin Riley, considering he played the position all through the minors and was supposed to be the third baseman last year until they signed Donaldson. So I would have thought they would go back to him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I mean, Camargo doesn't seem like to be the greatest option. I don't know if he'll stay healthy or I had him on my team all year round. And, you know, he did not play as much as I anticipated. But I kept him on my roster because he qualified for third and I think all the outfield except center.
Yeah, he was supposed to get a lot of playing time in the outfield last year, but that never really materialized. I can't see him as an everyday third baseman, or in reality, even an everyday player, I think he's really better suited for the utility role. I mean, you know, he's a switch hitter. He can play second, short, third, and all three outfield positions. It just seems like, you know, it makes more sense, though, for them to plug Riley in as the starter and, you know, let Camargo fill in, you know, the other spots, especially for the fact that, you know, it looks like Nick Markakis is going to be the starter out in left field, and he's coming up on 34 years old. You got to wonder how many more games he can play.
Poor Markakis. He's getting old.
Yeah, you know, I mean, well, you know, the guy's had a fantastic career. I mean, when you you kind of look at it, but eventually you kind of run out. It gets to you sooner or later. And like I said, he's coming up on 37. I think last year was the first year he actually missed a number of games due to injury. So, you know, you have to wonder if hopefully he's not trending that way. But, you know, and I did see today they did sign Yan-Hervis Solarte to a minor league contract with the good old invite to spring training. You know, he's another utility guy who's played quite a bit of third base. So you've got to wonder if maybe, you know, there's an option there for him to be a bench player and part-time, you know, third base guy. Because I don't believe there's much left on the free agent market infielder-wise. I know there's still quite a few outfielders. You know, we're waiting for Ozuna and, you know, Castellanos, and then our guy Yasiel Puig to sign. But, yeah, third base-wise, let's see what's left. All right, here you go. You ready? It's not a long list, Dan. We're looking at Matt Duffy, Logan Forsythe, Brock Holt, who's more of a utility guy, Jung-Ho Gang, Brad Miller, Eduardo Nunez, the Panda, Pablo Sandoval, and Neil Walker. Are you excited about any of those guys as your third baseman?
No.
And while I do like Matt Duffy, who's only 29, he'd have to prove to me he can stay healthy. So, but yeah, those are some of the names that are listed as, you know, third baseman. So, not a ton left. You know, really, I think the biggest names really left are just in the outfield now. You know, the big name pitchers have all signed. You know, the other big name free agents have found their homes. So it's just waiting to see, you know, what happens with some of these outfielders. So, yeah, it should be, you know, and I'm sure a lot of them will get invites, you know, to camp here or there, and you know, kind of, you know, the good old minor league contract with the invite to spring training deal. But, yeah, it's just a matter of when and where and who tries to pull the trigger and, you know, what kind of pay there is for them.
Now, are you surprised that Puig is still out there? I mean, obviously he had you know, I'm not going to say his issue. I feel like it was more Zach Greinke's issue with him. And, you know, I know he's, I don't even, you know, there's, I can't even think of the word. Is he maybe a little bit more eccentric? I don't know if that's really the word, you know, because he lifts the bat. He, you know, he's kind of out there. But I still feel like, I want to say this kid, but this young man, just, he's passionate about the game and he loves the game. And I just don't understand why anyone's sleeping on him.
So, yeah, well, you know, the outfield market is always a little slow because there's always so many of them. You know, and I think once Castellanos or Ozuna signs, it'll move a little faster, and he'll get gobbled up pretty quickly, because I have heard, you know, multiple teams who are in on either Ozuna or Castellano, and now with Donaldson off the board, I wouldn't be surprised to see, like, the Rangers step up and make a move to get one of those two guys, you know, because they're still looking for that guy to build around with their new stadium. And I mean, you know how I feel about Puig. I'm still baffled that the Marlins aren't smart enough to bring him in on a multi-year deal, you know, and just parade the Cuban player out there in front of the Cuban people, you know, who live in frickin' Miami and try to get some people to show up and watch a bad team. But, you know, it looks more like they're interested in just saving their money rather than spending it. So we'll have to see. But, yeah, I don't think it'll be long till we see those three guys, you know, come off the board now that Donaldson has been signed. But, all right, well, here you go, Dan. I don't know if you caught this or not. I saw this just before we went on the air. Your favorite basketball league, the Big Three, has made some, interesting changes, let's call it, for this coming season. And here you go. They said it's a completely new sport known as Fireball 3 as a result of the game's innovations, unique rules, and league policy introduced by the Big Three over the first three seasons, such as the four-point shot and the 14-second shot clock. They have now lowered the minimum age, Dan, from 27 to 22, so they will have younger players. They will also be using a red ball known as a fireball. And in case you're interested, they're going to hold open tryouts starting in 2020. But here's an interesting rule, Dan. Once per half, a team can challenge a foul call with the bring the fire rule, which will result in an in-game one-on-one possession with the victor winning the call. So, yeah, we will see guys play one-on-one in a challenge type of setup. Do you like that?
That's actually pretty cool. So it'll be interesting to see the different rules. I mean, it's obviously not going away, and not that I want it to go away, but kind of cool that something like this was able to catch on and, you know, kind of stay be a mainstay.
Yeah, you know, I hope the age change doesn't hurt the fact that we get to see some of the former players that still have a little game but aren't quite good enough to be in the NBA. You know, I hope it doesn't take away from that. But, you know, it seems like, you know, they make it fun. You know, but it does seem like there's a statement from Ice Cube here talking about the open tryouts. And he's talking about how they might get NFL players who think they can play or musicians. You know, because there's always the stigma of, you know, every guy thinks he can do something else. But, you know, looking at it, I mean, even, you know, the best musician, basketball player, whoever it is, probably isn't anywhere as good as some of those former NBA players that are going to be in the league, right? You think? Or are you buying it?
I don't think so, but I think letting some of those guys come into the mix just helps with promoting and maybe getting more. You know, as the saying goes, the ass is in the seats, right?
You know, like, I don't think I would have a problem if they tried out. But if they weren't good enough to make a team and they made a team or they were put on a team, then it's just a publicity stunt. You know, I mean, then you're strictly doing it because you think you're going to get fans. It becomes the WWE, you know, after that. I mean, you're not legitimizing your sport anymore. And then you're also costing somebody a job for somebody who just doesn't belong there.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think they should have to try out, you know, kind of, you know, actually make the team. You know, that's – I do not believe that, you know, Dana White just let CM Punk walk in, or, you know, a couple – you know, Bobby Lashley. Now, obviously, Lashley and Lesnar had real wrestling experience. But, you know, I forgot the former NFLer who made his rounds in it. I don't know how well he did or not. But, you know, these guys aren't just walking off the field and into the octagon.
Yeah, and you got to think, I mean, if these guys aren't good or up to standards, they are going to get hugely embarrassed if they actually end up on the court. Because these guys can play.
Yeah, and like you said, you don't want it to be WWE, but I was more thinking of the old school All-Star weekends where MTV hosted and you had your celebrity basketball game. Where I think
they still
do that now, but yeah, you know, it's a fun thing, but it's, you know, I'd rather go see Harlem Globetrotters than watching a celebrity basketball game.
Yeah, well, you know, like, it's a fun thing once a year, but you don't want to see it every time the league goes, right?
No, definitely not.
So, you know, and that's, you know, that's my kind of thing. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, it could be fun to see, you know, because, like, I know Terrell Owens has some skills. You know, he's actually played in, I don't know if it was the D-League at the time, or he played somewhere for a short period of time. You know, he actually has some basketball talent. But, you know, like they mentioned Chris Brown and J. Cole, and to be fair, I've never seen them play, so maybe they could handle it. But, yeah, I just don't want to see it deteriorate. And, oh, yeah, well, we have this guy on the team. He sits on the bench, but he's on the team because of what his name is.
Yeah. Yeah, but just because Chris Brown hung out with rappers and has as many tattoos as the Birdman, I'd like to see him get on the court and get his ass kicked. Because I think he's just complete phony.
Well, you know, and that may be the other thing, too. I mean, you're going to get these guys who, you know, okay, great. You know, maybe they measure up when it's a pickup game with their buddies, but their buddies probably aren't 6'5 or 6'6 with talent.
Yeah. You know, just because your 6'7 bodyguard is letting you take him on the court because he doesn't want to lose his job.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of one of those things, and it'll be interesting. I mean, maybe we will find, you know, some guys with legitimate talent, and you know, we'll see. But yeah, I just. You know, I've enjoyed what I've seen, but I don't want it to turn into a sideshow. So,
well, if it turns into a sideshow, maybe then we'll finally get our press passes.
Yeah, maybe. So, I'm assuming you'll have to apply again to see if we can get them, you know, just to see how it goes.
Yeah, we're low on the totem pole.
Oh yeah, we're the bottom of the totem pole. What are you talking about there? Our new thing, over at sportsradio.com, over at Twitter feed at sportsradio, over at email at sportsradio.com, vote for the movies. You want to answer my questions? The bottom of the post is what we're talking about. Let us know what we're talking about tomorrow. If you tell you we're going to come on at 5:30, we'll come on. So, this year, as always, we love the other deal. We're going to support the media that I'm on. We're going to be on the office phone. We're going to be on the Facebook page. Give it a nice vote for me. We're going to get it paid back.